And we graduated from that business class. Yes. And then after that, well, when I graduated, I went to Indiana. My husband was from Indiana, Muncie, Indiana. I went over there to live. And I worked in, what do you call it, Illinois glass factory, forgotten, yeah. And they made, you know, the glass jars and mason jars and things like that. And it was glass, the bricks, building bricks. And they made all kinds of brick, you know, glass, glass products. And then it was during the beginning of the wartime, and they were going into production of some kind of army, for the army contract, and they were making landmines. So I was working down there, gluing those things together, you know. They were glass things, and we glue them around like that. And we were on the assembly line. I was down there working on. And I used to get them done. You know, everybody be fooling around. I used to get them done. And they'd come around and inspect it, you know, see if it passed. And most of mine passed, everything, you know, I don't know. And those others would get mad at me because they were fooling around. And they told me, "You're an educated fool. You're making," he said, you're doing too much. You're, you know, they didn't put out much, but I was putting too much and showing them up, I guess. And they kept telling me, "Don't work so hard, don't do this, you know, take a rest, do this." And I don't smoke, I don't do this thing, you know, that they have breaks, they have coffee breaks and all, they linger around and they gossip. And I didn't do those things. I was there to do that working. You're working. Pulling around. And they kept saying, you're doing too much. You're producing too much. You better cut down. So I said, then after a while, you know, working with that stuff got to me. That, what do you call that? It's like that chemical. Like the fingernail polish. What do you call it? And acid, acetone, and that gallons of it. And then when you get it on your, all that glue on your hand, you wash it. You know, wash it like water. And it just got to me, and it just kept making me woozy and everything. They sent me to the nurse there, you know, to the clinic, and I'd be there, a headache. It didn't affect the others, but there was another girl, the Indian girl, it affected us too. Like the others. And that chemical was just getting to us. And when I go home, I could just, you know, inhale all that smell. And I was getting sick. I said, "Oh, I'm not going to go back there." So the manager told me, "I don't want you to work down there. So you work up here, you in my office, you know, typing all that." But I didn't want to. I want to work down there with other people, you know. They had all kinds of people there. You know, the colored people and all those people, Kentuckians, you know, people that never worked in a city before. They were just coming in, working, you know. And it was fun talking to them, you know. And going up there, I had to work with the men, all the men up there, you know, dressed up in suits and everything. I knew what to work with
right then. Their stories couldn't be as interesting.
I didn't like it. And then finally he said, "I want to send you to Toledo, Ohio, to the home office, so you can learn to be a draftsman. You can work up there with the, you know, our drafting department." So I went up there to see who was up there. They were all men. You're all drafting up there. I said, "I don't want to work with the men, you know, white men." I said, "Oh, I think about it." I said, "I don't know. I don't think so." So he kept after me, but I quit. I didn't want to go over there. I do what it drives me. Then I think about it, what was wrong with me? I should have gone. I could have been trapped midnight.
Yeah.
But I had opportunities like that, but I never take it.
So when did you come back here?
Then, later. But anyway, I went to the Army. Well, I was there. A group of us got together, you know, non-Indians, you know, all of my friends, said, let's go enlist. Said, okay, we went downtown, we were signed up and everything. We said, we're not going to get accepted or anything. You know, we're just doing that.
Oh.
And here, maybe 3 weeks later, we got notice that we had to go to Benjamin Harrison for our physical.
Oh.
Huh? Oh dear, so we said, okay, well, there was no way to back out or anything, so we went.
Yeah. And when was that?
It was in 44, I think.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, we went over there and went through the, got our physical and everything, and we passed. That's how it got in the Army. And we sent us to Fort Des Moines, Iowa, for the basic training.
Uh-huh.
Here it was in summertime, it was so hot. Marching out there in that hot sun, and some of the girls would pass out.
Oh.
It was so hot. Oh. Uniform on and everything, you know, marching on. It was fun. I didn't mind.
You didn't mind that.
I didn't mind.
So how long did you stay in?
A year and a half, I guess, because then they sent us back to New York, Staten Island, for training, Halloran General Hospital. We were over there on Staten Island, they trained us for, I was supposed to be surgical technician, that's what I signed up for, so that's what I trained for.
Oh.
But I wasn't tall enough, you know, when you tie the apron, the thing on the doctor is hard, and then put their gloves on, all that, you know, scrub. I was not tall enough. He just couldn't do it too good. But then we trained there. They sent us back to Indiana, and we went to another training, then back to Hollywood, and then from there they sent me to up to Utica, New York, to that other hospital.
So
that's where I was.
All the time you were the only Indian girl?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was the only one. I was contrapping all over the place. And I was up there with them, living in the barracks and all that.
Uh-huh.
It was fun.
Uh-huh. You had fun.
Yeah, I had fun. And then after a while, they told me I had to be, I was a corps master. You'd be in charge of the wards, the different wards, you know, for the men, some like orthopedic, some was colostomy, and all those wards.
Uh-huh.
They each had somebody ahead of it, you know, and I went through all of them. They put me in one, and they transferred me to another one, and so on down the line, and I sure didn't like that colostomy ward. You know, the man that was shot in their stomach, and
uh-huh.
Hey, that thing ooze out, and you smell, and you have to, you know, clean it, and then have to give medication to that real thing, and all that, was, you know, like that. And then in that orthopedic, well, people that were on the, what do you call it, bones, their bones were all broken up and everything. They have to
feed them
and everything. Uh-huh. Thank you much for that.
You said you were married.
Yes, married, and my husband didn't get to go. He thought he would go, but he did they call that, not our Army, but the other, on the sea.
Oh, Navy.
No, not on Navy,
oh.
Yeah. The other
Marine? I don't know.
No, it's just
not Air Force.
Mm-mm.
No.
Merchant Marine.
Oh.
But he did stay very long. He was
So did he just come home here or where did
No, he was in Indiana.
Oh yeah, that's right.
He worked there.
Yeah.
All his people, all his mother and father lived there. They were all their brothers.
So he was Anglo?
Mm-hmm. So I was up Utica. Then he'd come up see me. And then after that, I was discharged. I'd go to Fort Sheridan, Illinois, Chicago. That's where I got discharged. And then I went home down to Indiana. Then we came out here and lived out here in that house over there.
Oh,
we lived here for a long time. And finally, there was no work, so we went to California, L.A. But my husband worked down there a long time before, so we went back. We lived in L.A. down there. It was fun. All over, and we went to San Diego. He lived in San Diego, Bakersfield, just all around. Then back to Arizona, Bullhead City, that's where we were too. When that thing was going on, that Davis Dam was being built. That's where we were. They didn't have no housing or nothing. We had to live in a tent. Down on Colorado River. And a lot of people came out there for, they lived in trailers, they lived in whatever, you know, accommodation they could find around there. There wasn't any. And my husband, he delivered ice from Keeneland. That's a long way across the desert, you know, to get there. By the time you get there, wouldn't have ever seen ice left. And they'd be mad, those people would be mad at us because they couldn't get enough ice. They had ice box. Then they had no electricity, just ice box. And they had people with children, they wanted, you know, ice for to keep their milk. And they'd be mad at us because we didn't have enough ice. And we'd have to give ours up, you know, what was left, chunks was left we had, so we had to give them away. And he was just like that, you know. And the other day I was talking to my daughter, said, that Bullhead City, it's a big city now, is it? It wasn't like that when we lived. There's nothing down there. It's because we go down there. But we came back here. Lived over there. And when we had a house there, and I got to be in a council. Got to be in a council, and we lived in a little house there. And while we were in council meeting in July, I think it was July 2nd, because I remember a house burned down.
The house that you grew up in?
No. There was another house that was built. The old house that was still there, but it was kind of dilapidated. Nobody had lived in there, and the floors were bad, and the roof was leaking or something. It was in a bad shape, so we didn't stay there. We just stayed in that other house that was there. And it burned. We lost everything. We had brought a lot of stuff from California, refrigerators, everything. Even our TV. We couldn't get no TV up here, but we brought it. And everything burned. But we had insurance on our little house, not much, so we got our little money for it. So we remodeled that old house. We took all that roof off and roofing, put new roofing on it. Took all the flooring off, put new flooring in it. Put plumbing in. Didn't have no plumbing in there. And gas, butane. we modernized it quite a bit.
Uh-huh.
Put big windows in it. It's just that little narrow windows.
Uh-huh.
Took all that out, put big windows in it, big doors. We really made it nice. Nice gas stove, everything
uh-huh.
was nice. And we lived there for a long time.
Uh-huh. Huh. Certainly sounds like you did a lot.
Yeah,
you did.
And I was in the council all the time too.
Yeah, you were in the council now. Is that something that you get elected for?
Mm-hmm, yes.
Uh-huh.
Tribal council, you get elected.
And
no more than that.
So as a woman, do they have very many women in the council? No?
No, not too many. One or two. Mm-hmm.
So how were you treated? Just, did they listen to you when you
sometimes.
Gave your...
sometimes. Yeah, sometimes they did. Mm-hmm. Got along fine with them. Well, I grew up with them. That's
uh-huh.
why I knew them, you know. So. I get argued with them once in a while. We would disagree, but, you know, we got okay.
Uh-huh.
We did a lot, I think.
When you were in the
mm-hmm.
council? Uh-huh.
Maybe there was nothing to go by. No, like in the office there was no, you know, no guideline.
Mm-hmm.
Like the weights and scale thing, we didn't have that. We had nothing. And the employees, no employees, so we had to start from scratch.
Oh, when was that?
In the 50s.
Uh-huh. Oh.
We had to be on our own. We built our own office up there. We had to move out of the BIA building and into our own Tribal building.
Uh-huh.
And we had to refurnish everything, tables, lamps, typewriter, everything.
Uh-huh. So you were part of that?
Yes, we set up everything, and all the office equipment, and hiring, and writing up job descriptions and all that, everything from the beginning.
Uh-huh.
There was nothing to do all that.
Huh.
And weight scale. It was fun.
Yeah, I bet it was.
Yeah, it was really fun. I liked it. I was really, then I'd go on trips, like going to Phoenix, Salt Lake, or, you know, Omaha, wherever they had to go. And I'd go on a plane, get on a plane, go.
Uh-huh.
And
from Durango?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, go. And then we had car. We could go to Denver and drive up there. We had tribal had a car to drive up there. One time we went to Omaha. We had a big car, station wagon. We went over there to a meeting there.
Uh-huh.
Went to Phoenix, down to Scottsdale by myself. It was good there. I enjoyed everything.
Yeah.
I enjoyed meeting all those people from other reservations, like Wendell Chino and, you know, all those people
uh-huh.
from different areas, and it was fun.
Huh. Let's see. I want to change the subject a little.
Okay.
What, some of the dances that you have, there are still sun dances held, and of course bear dance, and your nephew was telling me about a Tucanero dance. Did you ever know anything about that? They were Navajo dances, he said, that were kind of like the bear dance.
I don't know.
Hmm.
I don't know.
Okay. What about things like superstitions? What kind of superstitions did you grow up with, or did your families have? I know as a Navajo, my family, they stay away from Anasazi, the ancient people, you know, anything that has to do with them.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of artifacts and a lot of things in this area, and I wondered how the Ute people felt about that.
Yes, it's like that. They ask us not to pick up any of those, you know, the, what do you call it, pottery pieces or anything you see, you know, pick them up because the spirits will come and, you know, make you sick or something. And not to do those things or damage them or anything like that. Just leave them completely alone. That's why a lot of these things were well preserved around here until lately, you know, and then people start getting in there and doing that, getting to everything. Yeah, that's right. And then at night, we used to tell us to not play outside after dark. Come right in. Don't stay outside. It's that's when all the evil beings get up, you know, in the dark. And you don't want to be caught out there yet. Come right in. You know, when it's dusk, that's when it comes up. You come right in. You know, get out there. Be out there. Playing around or be whistling out there outside or inside at night. And you know, little things like that I remember, you know. And not be making screaming or, you know, crying, try to keep the children quiet at night, not have them crying.
Because you didn't want the bad spirits to hear you or to be aware of you. Do you think maybe those were some of the things that they, people told as they moved around in their groups and
I think so.
For different reasons?
Yeah, I think they did, because that's caution, I guess, you know. And I think that's what they did. And about riding horseback and to carry horses and all that. And feed them.
So the horses were the big, the important.
Very important. And they have to see their. They, you know, sometimes they have that problem with their hooves. So be sure you take care of that, you know. Don't let them get lame. You know, get lame. Sometimes they have to, you know, how do you call it, huddle the horses? Wrap their, you know, chain around them or rope around their
hobble.
Hobble. So don't, you know, get it too tight. It rubs the skin off, and then you'd be lame for a long time. All that, you know, little things like that. And let's see, what else? Superstition. It's been so long since I thought about superstition.
Nothing that you tell your kids.
They don't believe me. The only thing that my grandson was really scared that he said there was this what do you call it, Bigfoot?
Oh,
He was standing right there. He said, I was sitting right here, and he was standing. It was a big, tall, white thing was up there. I looked up, and there was somebody looking in, you know, down like me. And they were over here doing their homework. I was back in my room. I heard a screaming and going on, you know, and they ran out of commotion. What's going on? And my granddaughter ran, and she ran into that wall over there, trying to get away. I said, what's wrong? I said, they couldn't talk, you know, they were just scared. I said, what's wrong? I said, you're going out. Finally, they said, there was somebody watching us. It was a big, tall one. He was watching over that, right there. I said, it's tall. I said, when I went outside, you know, how could it be? And he is really tall. It's white. He said it was white. He was just looking at us like that. And I looked up, and there it was. And they were just scared to death. And the dogs were barking out there. And they were barking all around. And my daughter and I were down there sitting there talking. when they came running down there, and we all got scared, and we came up here, and we were all huddled up here and looking around. And so they called the police. She called the police, and they came. They went over there and looked all over it. Over it, and they, I don't know what they saw or anything. They didn't say. They didn't tell us. But we could hear the dogs barking all the way across. You know, at night, you can hear them, you know. And said so maybe it ran that way, whatever it was, the big white thing. And so it was a Bigfoot. And I said, oh, he's not going to harm you. He said, he's just curious to see what you were doing, if you're doing your homework. He said, no, he was awful.
What about witchcraft and stuff like that? Do people, is that a big thing or not?
Not that I know of. Not in my family, I don't think. I just hear it from other people, the witchcraft, you know. But not much of anything. I don't know. They always tell us that we're witches and everything, you know. And we say, yeah, we'll, how do you want to be a toad or a... frog. We'll turn you into a frog or what? We just laugh. Some people believe that way, I guess. We just make fun of it. But I don't know. Might be. Could be true in some cases. Whatever. But I never have that thing. Occasion to see it, you know, myself, so I don't know.
Well, I guess that's about Carve, there's something that you would like to add? That's something that you'd like to talk about that you haven't?
I don't know. I don't know. It's up to you. You're the one that question me.
Okay.
Does this involve now or past or what?
Either.
Yeah. At the present time. I don't know.
Well,
my children, grandchildren are growing up now. They're all, one lives in Denver, one in Farmington, and one's going to CU, and the other's going to high school. They're all scared.
Yeah.
I'm only by myself here once in a while. My daughter lives over there, and she's got her house. Sometimes she comes over once in a while.
So, are you still adventurous? Do you try to still get
out? Oh, yes. I'm always out there. I always say, well, you're a hard person to track down. So call me first. I say, you come home. If I'm not home, you know, you get no answer. That's why I like to have people call me first, so that I can be home. Otherwise, if you come, I'm not. If I don't feel good, I'm in bed, sleep, and then I don't hear nothing. And like that lady was here, Avon lady, she comes, knock, said nobody was here, couldn't get it. I said, I was home. Oh, I must have been asleep. But I was cold, you know. I had bad cold, and I was feeling bad, aching bones and everything. And I thought, oh, nothing to do. I'll just take a nap. I can't see good anymore. I like to do work with my hands, work or sewing or something. But I can't see too good. I had eye operation, you know. Cataract, but two years ago, and then I had this little plant transplant, little plastic implant. But I can't see too good. It was okay then, but on this side there's a spot in there. When I go like this, just spot. I can't see good, but this side I can see, but I can't read it too good, you know, like that. So tomorrow I can go see the eye doctor. Maybe I have to get my glasses changed again or something. because I can't see too good anymore. And when I walk, you know, see, my equilibrium is not too good, so I might fall or something, you know. Especially at night, it's kind of hard to get around at night in the dark for me, because I'm always watching where I'm going to step. It's kind of hard. But I still like to get around and go.
Get around.
If I can
see
go.
Some new places. And
Not new places, but around here. You know, when I was asleep one time, a voice told me, you don't need to go anywhere. You don't need to go gadding about anywhere. This is your home, you stay home. So I said, who can that be? You know, a voice told me, a man voice, going up, forceful voice. I said, okay, now, might have been my dad or somebody, you know, something like them. So I said, well, I guess I don't go like people want me to go to Albuquerque to that